I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this, my friends, is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Kat Namsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our news and cues, and this week, Kenobi episodes. We got news, we got questions, and we got so much Kenobi to talk about, which I, for one, am thrilled about, and I'm sure you are too, Ken.
You know the old classic yacht rock song, it's the year of the cat, it's the spring of Kenobi. We're getting
the spring of Kenobi sounds like a musical I would be happy to see.
Another Star Wars musical idea here on Force Center, where Ken tries to sing but fails. Before we get to all that and some great questions, including one referencing a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, we are going to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Force Center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And you know, say with me a little bit later, we'll have our Four Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But that is not all.
No, we have another offer. Inside Editions is a publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books and other pop culture books. One I'm going to buy for my wife. They are offering 35% off across their website if you use this special link. InsideEditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we are recommending the Inside Editions book, Jedi Artifacts. It is a book, but it is also a treasure trove of ideas and fun toys, Artifacts of Jedi. I absolutely love this book, so you should check it out with this link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35.
Great stuff indeed. Yeah, I really, truly do love the stuff there. I have that big Game of Thrones photography book, which has in-show and behind-the-scenes photos. And it's just one of those books that, you know, Joseph, you love them too, where you get them, they're on your coffee table, and you just open, you just look at a picture, and all you do is go, yeah, it's that thing I like. And then you close the book, and then you feel good.
It's like looking at the ocean, but it's a book of just like, that's nice, or a cloud, or a tree. Like, that's nice, it exists, and it makes me happy.
I think you just stumbled onto a great Inside Editions catchphrase. It's like looking at an ocean. I love it. We always love to catch up with Star Wars and life adventures. Where did Star Wars meet us in the real world? What toys did we see hanging on a shelf? What do we got, Joseph? What do you got? What's your Star Wars and life adventures?
Oh, it was kind of a lot in kind of also Zen. I'm distracted now thinking about a whole Kenobi musical. as soon as we started joking about it, I think the initial song would be Hello There. Is Obi-Wan greets the audience. And then I thought of, hello, is it me you're looking for? And then I thought, well, Kenobi wouldn't want to be found. So he would have a song called Hello There, It Isn't Me You're Looking For, with a little, Jedi mind trick hand wave. Anyway, my life in Star Wars adventures have just been really wanting to reconnect to the joy and reconnect to the light. Mm. This week has been an absolute a banger's not quite right, a crucible. It's been a really busy week in life stuff, some family stuff that's not mine to talk about, and some other stuff that's just TMI, but it was really a gauntlet. There's the noun I'm looking for. It was a gauntlet of a week, in the middle of which, this last Book of Boba Fett episode, which you just had this bounty of characters and ideas and connections. And then as the days passed after the episode came out, there was, of course, some joy and some love on social media. But there were just so many very, very strong opinions, which I think is totally natural. We all love Star Wars and we take it very personally. Mm. So then when something happens that we're not sure about, we can get really upset. But I was just... the amount of angst online, I'm not even going to call it anger or, blame anybody for feeling strongly. There were a lot of strong opinions and then opinions about the way opinions were received and the should Boba Fett be it in more? Is it a valid criticism? What is Luke saying about attachment? Why haven't we seen the Rancor more? all the discussions valid, right? But the tone of it was, for me, like, the discussions are valid, but how do we express them? And the emotions with which they were being expressed on social media was, like, overwhelming for me. Because, again, the questions, the discussion, the criticisms, all valid, but the emotions. I want Star Wars, ultimately, for me, to always be something that brings joy. And if there's something that I don't like, I at least want to be able to kind of discuss it with respect and understanding and patience. That's the goal, right? So this thing I love can continue to be something that I love and not something that I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So I kind of had those things on my mind. And on Saturday, my wife and I went to the Descanso Gardens, which we go to often. There was a great poetry reading. And it was just great to get back out in the world and kind of step away from social media. With all those valid thoughts and criticisms kind of ringing in my head and in myself thinking through them and how I feel about them, but to step away from the sort of the angst of it and reconnect with how Star Wars just exists in the real world. Everything from the sort of, for me, thematic stuff of like, yeah, being in nature makes me think about my relationship with Star Wars and philosophy. But then like at a beautiful park and walk by just a guy with the t-shirt of Darth Vader, but he's got a surfboard. Just like that sense of fun. And
is there like a cat sis up?
He walked by too fast and I almost had that sir, I need to talk to you about your t-shirt. But it's just that Star Wars exists everywhere, in our culture. That we went to this bookstore near Descanso Gardens, which I really love, called Lost Books. And there's like a kind of old-timey toy store close to it called Tom's Toys that I'd never been in. And I found some Star Wars figures that I've heard rumor of, but I haven't seen on shelves, that there's this weird 5-inch line And I got a 5-inch Vader, not with surfboard, sadly, and a 5-inch scale Grogu. Obviously, Grogu himself isn't 5 inches, but it's just like, hey, I went to an old timey toy store on like kind of an old downtown, you know, boulevard and found action figures. And it's like, this is like when I was a kid again. I didn't pre-order from a website. I just walked in and found it in an old timey toy store. And then talked to my dad on Sunday. We often have a phone call on Sunday. And, you know, my dad loved Star Wars kind of through us. You know, my brother and I, he loved it because it was something that he could take his kids to and buy his toys, and it gave us joy. And he liked Han Solo, but he didn't, you know, he doesn't know what midichlorians are. He would be, is that a new model of a car? So he had heard on the radio people talking about Luke Skywalker, and he's like, now, I bet you might have heard of this with that podcast, but you know there's that Boba Fett show, and I guess Luke Skywalker was on it, but he was a computer? Like, Dad, I know. But he was, like, really engaged, and he's like, he's been getting into streaming services and, you know, spending more time picking out shows, and I was like, well, we got to get you even just a trial of Disney Plus, because he loves Westerns. So like, oh, you'll love these shows that are on there now because they're so influenced by Westerns. So anyway, that's a lot of individual adventures. But for me, the way it came together was respect the criticisms, respect the discussions, but step away from the anger and reconnect with the real world where Star Wars exists in this multitude of ways, many of them very, you know, joyful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I won't go too far down my own path. This is your life adventure here. I want to hear more about this garden, which I've been to and love. Yeah, this, look, I always joke and say I have words muted and everything, but the stuff can find me eventually. It's pretty nice to have a lot of words muted. I will say that. But a lot of times, just not in Star Wars, you find something, I hear it, and this is how I react to it. I see what you're saying. That's a great point. Now get off my front porch.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you here, but I'm here, you know? So anyways, yeah, I know what you mean. It can be disheartening. It can be overwhelming in a lot of ways, not just Star Wars, just life, but yeah.
Yeah, just life in general. Yeah. And again, just because I want to be very clear, I think it is great to question things, and many of the debates I found interesting and found value and made me go, I'm not sure if I agree with that, but let me really take some time to consider that analysis of the show. And all that's valid. For me, it's the emotion that it comes with, the way it's presented.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my long life in Star Wars adventures. How about you?
Two. We always like to do the update on the toy aisles, right? And, you know, your great description of the sad Lobots just kind of is that great all-encompassing topic, you know, the description of just when you see a figure, Star Wars figure left on a shelf for too long. And I was at one of my Targets nearby, and they keep having Black Series 6-inch Queel is there. And I don't have that one. I might just one day have to do it. Just get it. Just pull the purchase trigger there and take it home. But they had one of my visits. They had Q9 Zero, which is Zero, the droid from Mandalorian. Richard Attaway plays him, voices him. And I went back a day later. In one of those, you know, I forgot that at Target. I got to go back, right? And I went the next day, and it was gone.
Wow.
The two Queels were still there, calling to me. There I had this weird feeling almost as if I was being watched. I was like, oh, there's another Star Wars fan in a couple city blocks from here. They bought that. And they turned a corner and went, oh, Zero. I got to get that. I got to complete my collection. And it warmed my heart, right? That, you know, I always talk about shared unique journey. I walk around in that Rebel hat now. You sometimes occasionally the Imperial hat. And you know, people are always going to make a comment about that. They're going to look at your Vader Surf's Up, Sis Up shirt and make a comment about it. But I just was like, there's a Star Wars fan nearby. And it just brought me great comfort and joy.
Oh, that is really great. Yeah. To know that it is there, but you can't see it. You haven't bumped into this person yet, but maybe someday you will. And you'll be like, did you buy Q90 on this exact date?
I did. The other thing is going back to a line that it's a Force Center favorite, and it's a favorite of a lot of people. And I remember the first time, it's a line I've been aware of since 1999. It's your focus determines your reality, Qui-Gon. And I remember the first time you brought it up in a deeper discussion kind of manner here on the show. And it was one of those lines that it resonated with me even more and more, right? You just kind of stopped, you thought about it, and And it's one of those Star Wars lines. And part of the reason I think you're feeling some stuff you're feeling about the online discussion world and stuff like that is we do love this thing. And we love it more than just something we watch one time and we collect some figures. It informs a lot of what our life is. It's how powerful of a thing it is beyond franchise or movie, book series. It's a way of life. It's a philosophy. And I embrace that. Like, life's too short. Life's too painful. Star Wars doesn't just give me joy. It also helps me in the real world. And that's why we even have these Star Wars and Life Measures discussions. I'm trying to take on alternating weekends. I take a little more time for myself. The freelance lifestyle Joseph and I and others live is 7 days a week most of the time. And you're working to survive. You're working for fun, but you're working just for the next day sometimes. And every other week, I alternate my biweekly Saturday Night Knapsack podcast. It takes a lot of writing, and I just do my music show now on Saturday nights. That's fun. But I was like, oh, and on Sunday, you know, it goes, you wake up, you read a book. Next, you know, we go in for a morning coffee walk. I'm going to go work out. And I'm not the Rock. I'm not in there for 4 hours. I'm in there for 45 minutes. And then you come out, then you shower, and then you start thinking about lunch. It's 3 o'clock. The day is done. The day is done. And I was starting to get really grumpy. And Grace was kind of pointing it out and giving me sage advice on just like, you know, the day's not done, Dodo. But I was really getting upset. I was just really in my head, just like, my day is done. My day for myself is because I have to go to Lowe's because I need to replace that faucet. And it's going to be 6 o'clock and it's going to be nighttime and I've lost my day. And I thought of Qui-Gon. And I thought of you and I discussing Qui-Gon in that line for so many times. And I thought of your focus determined to reality. And I slowed down, changed my tune, ended up having a great day. You and I are shifting some recording schedules around. I was like, you know what? That's going to give me a little extra hour here. I don't have to be as stressed. I can handle some stuff Monday. You know what? We're good. We're golden. And I'm going to move forward with that. And thank you, Star Wars. And thank you, Qui-Gon. So I love that. We always share those kind of stories too. You go into a garden to connect with nature and why you love Star Wars. And me in a Target going, calm down. Calm down. What did Qui-Gon say? It all works as Star Wars.
Yeah, I love that Star Wars can be this, like, it's, you know, epic and silly, and it is, you know, monk wizards with laser swords. But, like, those lessons, those ideas are that, like, where do I feel Star Wars the most? At Lowe's. When I'm cranky about a chore, yeah.
Where is a 1/8... measured faucet head. I was looking for. Yeah. Qui-Gon would agree. Yeah. So anyways, that's why we share these stories. Yeah. Star Wars is everywhere. It's a silly, it's the profound, it's everything in between. So
yeah.
Just love Star Wars.
And did you get to do something fun then with your evening?
You know, I did. I been playing, play my cowboy game. It's how I relax. And, play Red Dead Online. And my friend John Mariano out there in New York, it's like, it's funny. We're about the same age, but it's turned into almost like a slumber party because Grace will be like, all right, I'm going to go take a bath. And I'll be like, oh, I got a couple hours. Johnny, are you up? And then I'll pour lemonade. I poured lemonade and I had Ben and Jerry's non-dairy frozen dessert. They can't legally call it ice cream. I love it. Had a Cherry Garcia, bowl of Cherry Garcia lemonade and hung out with my friend Johnny playing cowboy games. It was a relaxing time.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so I did. Thank you, Qui-Gon, and thank you, Star Wars. All right, we are going to look at some Star Wars news, and man, there's a lot of Kenobi fans out there. I'm a big Kenobi fan too, but Joseph, you wear your love for Kenobi on your cape, and I'm excited for all of us, but excited for you. It's like I said, Spring of Kenobi, and we got some big Kenobi news stories here today to discuss. New Obi-Wan Kenobi comic on the way. This is from Marvel, and this May we'll get a 5-issue miniseries from Marvel called Star Wars : Obi-Wan, written by Christopher Cantwell with art from Ario Anandito. The series will be set in the days, I put that in all caps, the days leading up the events of A New Hope. Kenobi will be chronicling his adventures in the journal that Luke eventually finds. This is editor's note, as they say in the comics, covered in previous Marvel comics, issues blank, blank, and blank. The adventures will span his entire life, from his Jedi initiate days to times as a Padawan, the Clone Wars, and beyond. Cantwell told Dan Brooks of StarWars.com that patience and fortitude are the heart of Kenobi, and each issue deals with those themes. So, Joseph, I'm going to start generally here, kick it to you with what are we looking forward to in this 5-issue series?
Yeah, there's so much that I'm looking forward to. I think one of the things that I go to is I'm really fascinated by the framing device. Like, obviously, the journals that Kenobi kept journals is a storytelling device that we were introduced to in the, you know, original Marvel Star Wars run of the Disney Lucasfilm era. And it's, yeah, it's a great storytelling device of how Luke can learn more about Kenobi and how we, the audience, can just hear a cool Kenobi story of like, how else are we going to hear about Kenobi fighting Black Rassantan, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it sounds like this, five issue run is really going to examine the act of looking back, right? Mm-hmm. That it's a cool storytelling device, but when you think of it from a character perspective of why would this Jedi who's been in hiding take the time in these final days before he senses change coming to write everything down? That's what's really interesting to me. And the author, Christopher Cantwell, kind of alludes to it in the interview as well, of it's a great way for Kenobi to prepare himself for change, you know, looking back honestly at his own life and going, hey, if I really look at some of the moments in my life that I think it's important to record, like, what did I learn? How did I become the person that I was? How is that going to help me guide Luke if now is the time? And also, it to me, it suggests a possibility that Kenobi realizes, well, big change is coming. And one of the biggest changes that might happen is me no longer physically being in this realm. You know,
right.
If he's been studying for years to master the ability to retain one's identity within the cosmic force, to selflessly help Luke be able to continue help Luke's journey. If that's at all in Kenobi's mind and he's going through like, what do I need to write down? Like, this feels like in some ways the fancy mythic force version of I'm getting all my documents in order before I go.
I had that thought of I bequeath some of these things in my hut to young Luke Skywalker. Yeah, that's great stuff there. I'd love to dive into more of that idea too of what you're saying of just him looking back, why he's looking back. And I think at times there's sometimes a lot of Kenobi's actions are discussed in a wonderful way of he ain't perfect, even though he's a poster child. We always say, you know, doing his best for the Jedi Order, steadfast. We'll talk about patience and fortitude. But yeah, he's made some mistakes because he's a well-rounded character. And I love that about Kenobi. And I love would love to get his thoughts on some of that. I still think we're going to be dealing with that a lot in the Kenobi series about the big one. But, you know, I don't say, I don't know if this comic is the place for that answer. I don't know. I want to keep open to a lot of things to say. But like, maybe, you know, should I have run off with Satine? What if I had done that? Mm-hmm. I'm like glad I didn't do that. All those kind of things. I'd love to play around with that kind of stuff and just get Kenobi's perspective on it now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that there's so many elements to his character. And like, yeah, this comic series is going to be new stories, right? So there could be a version of this story where Kenobi's looking back and he is reviewing the big moments in his life, right? But these are telling new stories. So it's interesting to me to think, like, if he's looking back and going like, well, you know, what has made me who I am? What are the strengths? What are the flaws? Are they little moments, you know? Because sometimes I think that happens in real life where we remember, like, the big breakups or the big jobs, the big successes. And then sometimes our minds wander to, like, little moments and we realize, oh, there's more foundation in those little moments than I realized. And I expect the comic's going to be in kind of that lane of where, yeah. What are the little moments that help make me who I am?
Yeah, and how those connect to some of those bigger moments, some of those bigger mistakes. And again, what makes him and what made me? Having someone go, what made me? What nearly broke me? Is just fascinating for this character who's got so much to share at this point.
And, yeah.
And where he is mentally, that great conversation that Claudia Gray wrote in the From a Certain Point of View with him and Qui-Gon, you know, appearing to him. Not too far before he dies. Just Kenobi, like I said, I have that sense. I get that sense he would, that my time is coming. And that final lesson I learned from Yoda is now's my time to shine. So getting ready for that as we head into the Kenobi series and then head into anytime you watch A New Hope.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you think about this idea of patience and fortitude being a couple of the biggest things inside of that heart of Kenobi?
Yeah. Yeah. The author, Christopher Cantwell, you know, mentions that in this interview. And just a quick sidebar, I looked up who Christopher Cantwell is. And if you Google on Wikipedia, there's a not great person with the same name. Be sure to hit the disambiguation button. But Christopher Cantwell has written many comic books, you know, including characters like Captain America and Doctor Doom. But he's also the co-creator of the television show Halt and Catch Fire. He's directed a film called The Parts You Lose. And I'm just excited about that. I'm excited with somebody who is experienced in writing comic books, but also has a kind of screen perspective. So I'm excited about him in general. But to answer your question, I love that in the interview, Cantwell brings up this idea of patience and fortitude. I think you and I use the word steadfast a lot. It's a character type, but I think that's why I come back to Kenobi. That's what's fascinating to me about him, that he's not in it for the adventure or the excitement. He just wants to be the best Jedi he can be. He wants to be a defender of the light. And I think what makes him so fascinating is that is the absolute through line of his existence. But he also has all these weaknesses that make him interesting and charming, right? He's grumpy. He's cocky. He has moments where he's too rigid. He probably does err on the side of withholding from his Padawans a little bit, both information and emotion, with Anakin and Luke. Those are arguably big mistakes. So nobody's holding up Kenobi as perfect. His imperfection is what makes him fascinating.
Yeah.
But through all of those beats that you can discuss of like, ooh, did he miss the mark a little bit? He is so consistently, completely and utterly committed to being a defender of the light side. You know, I could go through a million examples, but in the interest of brevity, you know, I think one of my favorite scenes with Obi-Wan Kenobi is Satine's passing and Maul thinks it's going to break him and Kenobi doesn't break. And that's what makes him such a fascinating character. He's incredibly flawed, but regardless of how much he loses, Qui-Gon, Satine, Anakin, Padme, every other Jedi he's ever known, his entire way of life, he rises above all that loss and stays committed and pretty selfless just to help others.
I love it. This is why you got the Kenobi cape here in our Force Center hut. Absolutely love it. I love trying to, you know, the cost of that patience and how he weighs it against his bigger goal or his bigger purpose and those moments of doubt that he overcomes every time to remain patient and to keep his fortitude intact. That's something I'm fascinated with. And again, is how deep are we going to go in a comic series? I don't know. Christopher Cantwell seems pretty excited to dive on in, and I think he can do it. I think the Rise of Kylo Ren comic is one that showed me that you can go pretty deep if you want on some of these Star Wars comics. And other ones do it as well, but a lot of them are fun action and they keep with the big themes, but they're moving and they're comic booky, which is maybe why I struggle with them as much. I'm not a huge sometimes it doesn't vibe with me in Star Wars, but I really think this one with Kenobi, I'm looking forward to. This is one I'm going to be there first week out to spend more time with this patient Jedi in the desert.
Yeah, I will definitely be getting, I often wait for the sort of trade paperback on Comixology, but I think this one I will just get episode to episode because I think these 5-issue series are great because they don't have to necessarily balance everything else. They're not ensemble things. They can just really dive into who is this character and in particular, who is this character at this point in their life?
Indeed, indeed. Final thought on this here. Anything you want to learn specifically from Kenobi as he looks back? And again, like you said, new stories, but they could inform his other moments. I'm not sure how much this will work with the Kenobi series. I got to imagine they got to double check, make sure something's not stepping on another thing or if it's connected. So anything you're looking forward to specifically?
I think I think looking at all the different points in his life and having him think about how he became who he is, right? I think the steadfastness, the commitment to the way of the Jedi, I think just kind of reconnecting with his core values is the thing that I'm looking forward to. And then just like for a little canon stuff, like, yeah, it's really fun to see like, okay, we're going to get to see him really young. We're going to get to see an adventure in Clone Wars. I'm not looking for like big, this is the missing chapter in Kenobi's life. Right. I'm looking for those small moments where is this a story where he really learned the value of patience? Is this a story where he was kind of rigid and judgmental and was mean to a droid when he didn't have to be? And went, okay, all right. I made a mistake there. I'm looking forward to the little character study moments.
Yeah, the only thing, little specific thing, and this again could be the series, but it'd be fun to, you know, I don't necessarily think we would need it in a live action series. It's got a bigger thing to kind of live up to. A comic where, like you said, you could go in smaller. Literally his first few moments and days on Tatooine. I'd be obsessed with that. What do I do now? How do I get this hut? Where do I drink? What am I doing here? Owen and Brew, you know, do I talk to them? Do I not talk to them? I would love a little bit of that.
Yeah, no, I think like there for me, I'm so fascinated with that first moment where, you know, he's handed off Luke and he has settled in that moment that I think we all know from like major events in our life. When you go through like the big noisy part and then there's inevitably that moment where you're just sat alone and you're supposed to get back to normal life. And that's when it truly hits you. Right. That first moment where he sits down is like, so this is it then.
It's like every time I go to a stand up gig with Ellis and we check in the hotel, the first thing I do, I pick up Google Maps, just go, all right, so I'm here for the next 4 days. What is my life like? Where's the Walgreens for things I missed in the packing? Where's the food? Where's the drink? What am I doing? What am I doing here? I want to see that with Kenobi.
Exactly. So I'm excited for this one. Happy for the announcement.
Yeah, it's a good one indeed. So we'll get ready for that. You know, we're going to probably do a look at that series when it comes on out. But around that time, I think we might be a little busy with some other Kenobi stuff, too. Is May the time for Kenobi? This kind of emerged several different places covering this story, but it was the Hollywood Reporter that kind of kicked it up into high gear. Last week, a Disney Plus executive tweeted out our this, and I'm keeping his name. He protected his tweet. It's probably a mistake. This guy's probably had a bad week at work, so we're not going to make it worse. But he did tweet out our very own Obi-Wan will be saying hello there on Disney Plus, ellipsis May 2022. The tweet was quickly deleted. The Twitter got protected. And then, though, the Hollywood Reporter said they have a source that corroborates this rumor. And they know it's not official, which is the truth here. It's not official. But it's not a surprise if true. May just kind of feels right. There's been a lot of looking at what's coming out for Marvel, what's coming out in Star Wars, Bad Batch, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of choices. But this kind of feels right. So, Joseph, what do you think about this? And then I got to ask you, how does it feel to be this close to Kenobi?
Oh, I'm thrilled to be this close to Kenobi. Yeah, I think it absolutely is in May. We talked about it a little while back when I think we were doing a podcast about looking ahead to what's coming in Star Wars land in 2022. May just seems obvious with everything we know about when Boba Fett's ending, when Andor is beginning, when other MCU shows are dropping. But also the May 4th thing to me, it's been built up into such a big thing, right? Not only online, but like, you know, actual sales in the real physical human world. Yeah. And I think Kenobi is going to be different in terms of a Disney Plus show in the way Disney Plus promotes it. Because yeah. I think, you know, you take a step back and look at Disney Plus's motivation. They want to retain subscribers and keep them happy, but they also want to bring in as many new people as humanly possible. Right. And I think that's part of the reason that they did not try to keep it under wraps that Vader is in it, right?
Yeah.
That Hayden Christensen is back. This is Kenobi and Vader, two of the most just, you know, there are humans who've never seen Star Wars who know who Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader are, right?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, Ewan McGregor is, you know, to many of us, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's also just one of the most famous human beings on the planet, right? He's one of the most successful actors of his generation. It's original trilogy. It's prequel trilogy. I think there's such a chance that Disney Plus thinks that they're going to drive numbers for subscriptions for casual fans, right? Mm. For people who aren't like, wow, Black Chrysanthemum from the comic books, like a lot of us. But for people who are a little bit more like, I've always liked that Star Wars.
Yeah.
But, Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor's coming back as Obi-Wan. He's going to fight Darth Vader. Cool. So I'm very curious to see. So that's a part of what makes me think like, yep, May the 4th, when it's already a thing that everybody's paying attention to, there's already going to be a million articles. Let's lead with that. It just makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's funny. Yeah. Anytime you talk about May 4th, and we always kind of joke around here, and I always say it a lot of like, that's just only a recent thing for me since doing podcasts. And so I never really, Star Wars Day was every day of my life, I used to always say, but I get that. But now I'm more open to that celebration. It is fun. Like, yes, it's a holiday.
Right? Yeah. And you can see lots of other fandoms really, really you know, having those kind of days that are on social media, but they start to be involved in sales, which means they're involved in the real world. And I think May the 4th is really starting a trend.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely is. So it makes sense. It's a big thing. And you're so right. It's so right. Beyond any discussions on Star Wars and nostalgia, and new characters, old characters, all that stuff, we can have those on these podcasts, and everyone else is going to have those discussions elsewhere too. But I think you're right. You're sitting there watching, streaming a sports contest, and suddenly, the guy from Fargo is... the guy from Trainspotting's back in Star Wars and Darth Vader. Oh, I like that Darth Vader guy. I like that Kenobi guy. Let me do it there. And they're not going to have a debate on if it's too much or too little. I'm saying that somewhat cynically and a little burnt out by recent weeks of Star Wars discussions. But I think you're right. I think it's a big thing. And I think they're going to treat it big. Which leads to the when's the trailer dropping conversation. But I don't know yet. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we're barreling down on the Super Bowl. If it was going to be in the Super Bowl, it probably would have been announced by now. But like, I think that kind of like, how can we reach the widest audience possible? I think we're going to see that kind of promotion. And also living in Los Angeles, where there's a lot of entertainment billboards, that means there's probably going to be a billboard for Obi-Wan Kenobi over my local Dunkin' Donuts. I can't wait.
Can't wait for those photos on the Joseph Scrimshaw Instagram page. The big professional championship game contest. Do we have to pay money to the NFL if we use the other term? I can't remember. That's just silliness, by the way. I noticed today at the time of recording, Amazon's going to be, they announced that game, they're going to be releasing the tease for their Ring of Power series.
Ooh.
So that makes me either think, clear the decks, they get the spotlight there, or Disney goes, not on our watch, and it becomes Trailer Wars.
In Trailer Wars, I think the fans will win, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, that's the Disney. We all win here. So there you go. We, of course, will update. You know, we'll update you when it becomes real, official, when it's on StarWars.com, or Ewan McGregor blows it in an interview and says, oh, it's coming out Tuesday. We'll see. Or at this point, it's Stellan Skarsgård. He's like, yeah, we're shooting Andor 2. Oh, was that? Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we're doing stuff. I don't care.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. And very soon.
Very soon, very soon. That is our look at Star Wars news. Before we get to your questions, we are going to recommend an audiobook for you. Joseph, what do we have?
We are recommending The Midnight Horizon by Daniel Jose Older. It is the latest High Republic adventure. We have the physical copies, and my wife walked by and went, that is a striking cover. And she's right. So I can't wait to dive into this one, and you can listen with Audible.
You can listen indeed by downloading your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. All right, quick break, reset, and then your questions here on 4center.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique. And your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. I'm Ken Absalon with Joseph Scrimshaw, and we have got some questions for you all here today. Two from Twitter, two from Patreon. Joseph, what do we got?
Yeah, really good ones this week. They're always good, but this is a fun variety of questions. Dancing toward the light side and the dark side so we can explore it all. So we go to first from Twitter, and this came to us from Jay. Jay says, listening to Spotlight Star Wars on the special editions. Great episode. So, Ken, you did that episode with Billy, right? Billy Patterson?
Yeah, Billy Patterson from Fandom Screen Junkies and his own stuff. Yeah, and it was Billy was like, hey, man, you know the 25th anniversary of Star Wars special editions is coming up. I was like, oh, is that so? He's like, I need to talk about it. I need to talk about it. And I love when Billy's passionate about Star Wars. It's so fun. It was a great discussion. So thank you, Jay, for that.
Yeah, so Jay was inspired by that great episode, and Jay said, and it made me think, while I was watching Under the Helmet, the Boba Fett documentary on Disney+, I couldn't help but be troubled by the total lack of mention of Jason Wingreen, the original voice of Boba Fett. They gave time to Jeremy Bullock, but it was almost like they were pretending Jason never existed. I found it incredibly disrespectful. Now, I've grown to love Tim Morrison in the role, but Jason's voice is part of what made me love Boba in the first place. My question is this, irrespective of your opinions on the actual material of the special edition, personally, there are some changes I enjoy and others I don't, says Jay. Does the erasure of history, including whole performances, bother you at all? Thanks so much, longtime listener. Thank you, Jay, for this question. Ken, this is diving into some of the hard stuff in a thing that used to be kind of one of the main conversations of Star Wars, wrestling with the special editions and the availability of the originals. It's felt like a good time to revisit. So I want to talk about the special editions in general, but first I want to talk specifically with what Jay is saying about the original voice of Boba Fett not being discussed or featured in that Under the Helmet documentary. How do you feel about that?
I understand where Jay's coming from on that one there. I don't know if I would go far as saying I find it disrespectful, but I really respect that Jay does, because what Jay's talking about and what Jay's reacting to is Star Wars is, you know, it's there for the legacy, right? If you love Star Wars to this level, if you're listening to Force Center right now at work, there's a good chance you know who the guy in the pink shorts holding the boom mic was. Rest in peace. He passed away. Like, you know, like we're here for that kind of stuff. And it all goes into it. And you're right. This was the conversation of the day. Even the Palpatine change, with Clive Revel, right? A lot of how could you do that type of thing? So I really get it. And I respect where Jay's coming from on that point. Wingreen to me picked up where Don Franks really started in the holiday special. Mm-hmm. And again, if you guys have not watched the Faithful Wookiee animated short for the holiday special, I really recommend you do. It's wild. It's weird. It's also Mando and Boba Fett. It is like the first episode of that series is you can see where some of the influences are.
And really like every comic book, right?
Yes.
Going back to like the original Marvel run in the 70s and 80s to now, they're like, here's just a wild adventure our characters have.
Yep. And it's a great watch. And Don Franks is the voice of Boba Fett in there. And I really do think set the tone. So I get where Jay's coming from. I just also think, if it had been a longer doc, without a doubt, I think it would have been in there. Who knows if it wasn't and it was cut for time. And there's also a side of me that just kind of thinks recasting is the name of the game sometimes in just entertainment and acting, and it sucks and it hurts. And sometimes that does happen. And sometimes you don't know. And I'm a big fan of stunt performers because a lot of them kind of cross over the pro wrestling world. So I knew a lot of them. And I was a little, you know, I was a little more cross off air than on about, some folks not getting the credit for being in Mando's outfit, you know?
Yeah, particularly in that first season where it was a lot of the stunt people who we were seeing.
Yeah. And I think they corrected that. And I don't think this is the same thing. So anyways, I'm going to end my ramble, to say, Jay, I'm with you on that. And I think it's up to us to also keep that legacy going. Cause Jason Wingreen he was part of my life. I that's the Boba Fett I was impersonating on the playground, you know, and I'm with you. I really love Tim Morrison and being there. I like that he's the voice now. It's a real good continuity thing for me. So anyways, I'll hand it to you, Joseph, cause I'm all over the place. I think I'm okay with it and not okay with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I'm in that same place of I understand it, but I also allow myself to be bothered with it. I think for me, sometimes with Star Wars content that's being put out, I want to recognize it for what it is and both allow myself to criticize it, but accept it. And I think for me, with the Under the Helmet documentary in particular, we did a whole long episode about it, about a 20-minute documentary, because I was so moved by some of it and by all of the contributions involved in that picture of those early times of Star Wars creation. But I was also fascinated because that documentary is clearly a celebration of Boba Fett and only a celebration, and did not want to get into anything that had even a whiff of controversy. That's what that document is. It starts so strong, going in so deep on the creation of Boba Fett. And I have that instinct of like, yes, I want this to be like a 90-minute documentary that talks about the ups and downs of Boba Fett. But then we get to like all the really great and beautiful stuff with Daniel Logan, right? But there's no discussion of negative fan reaction to seeing Kid Boba Fett in the prequels. Nothing. No whiff of it. There is arguably a huge part of Boba Fett's legends is all of his appearances in the EU novels and all of the history that was built up, you know, around him. There's no mentions of those books even existing, because again, that would be dancing into a touchy subject, you know? Yeah. And I feel like Jason Wingreen is just a part of that, of we don't want to bring up the fact that there's debate about the special editions. Anything that could be fan debate was left out of that documentary. So I just kind of feel like I want to enjoy that documentary for what it is, acknowledge that it's a celebration, not a deep warts and all documentary.
Yeah. And I'm with you. And like one day, I don't think it would necessarily be Disney that would do it, but you know, wouldn't mind something like that. But yeah, you're right. But anyway, I would say Empire Dreams, you know, did have some things about George and his films, but it's still from them. So I'm with you on that. Yeah. That wasn't the goal of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely felt it. I'm with you, Jay. I felt it that like, oh, come on. Cause yeah, Jason Wingreen, that's as you wish. That was the Boba Fett that I knew for many years. I did have the good experience of reminding myself to like, I know Jason Wingreen has been in other things, and I looked this up and I always forget that he also played Harry Snowden, who is the bartender on the sitcoms All in the Family and Archie Bunker's Place, which my family watched religiously when I was young. And if I had known that was Boba Fett serving beer as a kid, my mind would have been blown. So it's too bad that he wasn't in the documentary, but at least this question made me remember to look him up and put some respect on his name.
I'm going to look that up too. I didn't. That's great. Okay.
He pops up in lots of little roles in movies, a wide variety of movies. There's a super weird Lovecraft movie that he's in. Like I'll be excited to be on Jason Wingreen watch as I watch things.
He's in that really bad Captain America project as well in 79. Oh, that's great.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's amazing. I remember being disappointed by that as a child.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go. Jay, we are now paying respects to Jason Wingreen. Oh, he was in Highway to Heaven. I watched it every Sunday with my family. Okay. Well, I'll stop.
Yep. We could go there forever. So Jay is kind of asking about the inclusion of Jason in the Under the Helmet documentary, but also the general question of the special editions that how are you sitting with that idea these days? That obviously they are Lucas's preferred versions. They are what's on Disney Plus. How are you feeling sore about not having the original versions readily accessible?
No. And that's something Billy and I discussed. There's even some points where Billy, this is our experience. Look ourselves in the mirror and think we kind of like them better. In a weird way. And I'm with Jay too. There's changes I really love and there's changes I don't like. And there's changes that the Han Jabba scene with Boba Fett at the end of it at the docking bay. I love seeing that because I'd heard that for years. And you know, no matter how many times they fix it, there's just a lot of love about that scene now, right? I just love kind of the history behind it. I as far as what Lucas did and some of the changes, I at the end of the day, I'm always fine with it. I can pop in the VCRs. I can look at it. I have a Sebastian, Shaw. I almost said Stan because I want him to start with Sebastian Shaw. Figure somewhere. It's like I get it. But it's just kind of the name of the game, and it all flows a little better for me when I watch it now.
Yeah. I think for me, I think this is also just a matter of acceptance. I get that they are Lucas's preferred version. There's a ton of stuff that I have come to really love about the special editions, but yeah, some other things always be like, I miss that beat or whatever, or that change or whatever. But I think what Jay is saying is what's interesting to me. I'm not interested in having the age old debate about, which version should exist. Mm-hmm. I wish that the originals were available purely as historic documents, right?
Yeah.
I think because of exactly what Jay is saying, is to kind of honor some of those performances and to have that be a part of kind of our historical record of this unique saga and this unique change that it's gone through. I know I have them on DVD. There was Lucas had kind of said never releasing them. And then there was this one DVD release in mid to late 2000s where it was you get the special edition and then it's just a bonus disc and it's not remastered or anything. So for a long time in the 2000s I just watched my DVDs of the original versions, and then after a while I was like, I want to start watching the special editions again. So I think it would be great. Who knows the legal tapestry at this point, but I'd be fine with it if like the official stance is these special editions that Lucas left to Disney, those are the films, but you can tab over here and, if you can't see the whole scene, the whole movie, you can see this scene, or that scene, as historic documents. I think that would be great. We'll see if it ever happens.
Yeah, it'd be great. Also, you reminded me of the days. Remember when George Lucas just killed Star Wars and he was the worst thing for it, according to conversations of the day?
So many for so long, he did not understand what he made. Yes. Yes. Anyway, that's a long conversation that we can have. We've had a lot and we'll have again, I'm sure. But for now, thank you, Jay, for the great question. We'll move on to our next one, unless you have anything more to add, Ken.
No. It's a story for another time, indeed.
Yeah, so we're going to move on to this question from Raquel Perez. Raquel says, hello, guys. I've been wondering for a while now, if discussed previously, tell me no. Who was IG-11 working for? I don't think it was Moff Gideon, as he wanted Grogu alive. And who was the main character holding Grogu? Why were they holding him and not selling him? Speaking of a good question for another time, Maz Kanata line in Force Awakens, perhaps one of the most important lines in Star Wars discourse now.
Yeah.
A good question for another time. Where do you go with this? What do you think those Nikto were up to, and who hired IG-11 and all that?
This is great. Also, Raquel, I would love to remember all the things we discussed previously to just tell you no. To just go, no, not answering it. I don't remember what we said last week sometimes. First of all, I think the clear answer is Snoke. It's just,
yeah. When in doubt, Snoke is the answer.
They've already made one, like it's there. I've always thought of it as the same buyer. Haven't seen these episodes, especially that first one, in a while. I've always thought of it, but Raquel's right. IG-11's, prime directive being to kill him would put it at odds with Gideon or even Werner Herzog. There's got to be someone else, and that intrigues me. It's a forgotten thread in a way. It's not forgotten, Rick. I was thinking about it here. I'm not saying that this week in the Boba finale, someone's going to show me like, hey, that was mine. You got that little Grogu kid? I sent IG-11 for him. I'm not saying that answer's coming, but it could from my perspective, because I haven't spent a lot of time looking at the usual suspects that might be behind this character. For me, the Nikto might not have known the true value of what they had, right? Just mm-hmm. this little pram with a little creature in it there. It also, I don't know, could have been like wild. Like, you know me, Joseph, I don't do the theories too well. I'm just not smart enough to put them out there. But I don't know, whoever we discover rescued Grogu might have something to do with it. Maybe they didn't want him killed. Maybe that was a miscommunication. I don't know. There could be something bigger at play is my big thought here.
Yeah, I think so. I think that for me, this is the exact kind of thing that's fun to, just let your mind wander and imagine, because we just don't know the story yet, right? I think especially that first season of Mandalorian was just following that great screenwriting advice to start as deep into the story as he can. So he is a target of value and he's being held. And that's what we need to know for us to start the story and for Din Djarin to start the story. And it could be that there's not much of the story, or it could be there's something really interesting and deep going on in the story. I think that for me, kind of my big picture headcanon is he is rescued from the Jedi Temple, maybe out of absolute altruism, maybe out of ulterior motives. There are some theories floating around there based on some stuff on the walls in his vision in this latest episode of Book of Boba Fett, his memory. About who took him, which is intriguing stuff. And then all we know is right that Ahsoka says, and then for a long time, darkness. So I feel like, he is around. It's not in any sort of happy place. And I feel like something broke right around the time of The Mandalorian, the beginning of that story, where somehow his existence was rediscovered, right? That he'd been kind of hidden from the events of the galaxy. His existence was rediscovered and a bounty was placed certainly by Moff Gideon with what appears to be the motivation of get his blood, use him for experiments. Can we create a Force-sensitive creature? Is that going to head into, Palpatine and Exegol and Snoke, maybe. Right. But I think it's just, if you think about it from this kind of a real world perspective of a rumor ripples through the criminal underworld, the scattered Imperial survivor world, that this target of great value is out there. I think those Nikto mercenaries just knew for some reason, weird green baby valuable. We'll hole up with him. And clearly a lot of people know that's where he is, right? Because Queel has that that line of dialogue about all the different bounty hunters sweeping through and ruining this peaceful place, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of this real world, like almost sort of comedic of like some people after him, the bounty hunters and some of the people who placed bounties have a clue of his value. And other people are just like, high value target. We're really presented with from the bounty hunter guild's perspective, in Mando's perspective, that there aren't high price bounties out there right now. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, we meet Din just being kind of like a low level debt collector. Right. And then this is suddenly this incredibly valuable target. So I kind of like the idea that Nikto's are like, don't know who he is, what he is, why anybody cares, but he's worth this much. So, we're holding on to him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that, yeah, the fact that there was more people aware, but the fact that, you know, Din is the one that breaks through or learns a little bit more, or I always took it as even though others were hired, I don't think everyone had that conversation with Werner Herzog, you know?
Yeah.
Some just got the email. So it could be something like that. Yeah. Or again, it unfolds. I agree. Part of me almost thinks like, not saying it doesn't matter. And Raquel's got a right question here, but you know, it's just like, I don't know, maybe the answer is something simple and we never really deal with it again. Or like I said, it comes back in a giant way and we get a little bit more and Dr. Pershing and everything about it. And I'm intrigued for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be as simple as, you know, somebody who knows that species is rare and that they are often force sensitive sees him and it slips out to everybody. And then, well, okay, that's why we want him. But I could also see like some Imperial leftovers or some, Sith acolytes saying, oh, well, we're still following the mission of the force sensitive beings. You know, they die, you know, anything associated with Jedi, they die, you know, so maybe there is somebody out here. Maybe, you know, Moff Gideon via the client, Werner Herzog, is like, we want him alive. But maybe there are other people out there going like, no, we want him dead.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could come into play.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Thank you for the fun question. Going to move on to our questions from our patrons on Patreon. First one comes from Michael McCarcel. Michael says, from time to time, you guys have talked about the tendency of Star Wars toys to capture an incredibly specific moment from the movies. Example, Luke in Stormtrooper armor, but with wet hair. Which of these are your favorites and why? For me, it's one I had as a kid. It is Jedi Padawan Anakin, specifically from the part of the duel with Dooku when Anakin used two lightsabers. The cherry on top is that the right arm detached via tiny magnets in the elbow, so you could recreate the exact moment of Anakin losing his arm. I didn't realize it had the removable arm when I picked it up at the store, but it absolutely blew my mind when I took it out of the box. It's another toy that I've lost to time, but I'll never forget it. Thanks, and may the Force be with you. Mm. May the Force be with you as well, Michael. This is a very fun question. Ken, do you have favorites of the hyper-specific moment action figures?
Yeah, we talked a lot about them on the Star Wars ranked ones. A lot of, you know, Kenobi drinking or Lieutenant D'Antoni drinking and Ahmed Beck. All that kind of stuff. But I got to tell you, I really dug deep for this one, Michael. I have three answers here. One is an unofficial two-pack that is not necessarily a specific moment. It's a specific sequence. And that is classic Kenner Chewie and 3PO in a bag. I had both of those and they're separate. And I just, you know, put 3PO in that bag, try to position it as close as I could to the movie scene and put that bag on Chewie. And you had to do you had to stretch the bag because you had to put the Kenner arm with no articulation at the elbows back. And then once it was on, it was so hard to get on that I just didn't take it off. Right. So for years, that was it. It was always 3PO in the back of Chewie. And therefore I just kind of love it and love that sequence and love that. Again, if we just Breakaway 3PO was a great figure, man. And we love that. And that was to me the first time that you celebrate something specific
in
a collection celebrated that. So there's that for me. And then the other two going to the 99 line. It's one of those accessories you and I and other Star Wars fans can poke fun at in a loving way. May Dean's pointer and all that kind of stuff. But Padme and her pod race view pad is still one of my favorite things. Reenact Padme watching the pod race.
That is pretty great. And then the fact that they so predicted tablets is like they're watching the pod race on just like an iPad with a bone accessory, right? There's just like with bone handles.
There's got to be on like Etsy or eBay or something where you can find like a custom made iPad holder that's that. Got it.
Yes, I want it so much. This is the kind of thing that I would only use at home though, because you know, you take that to a bar and do your work and people are like, what are you doing?
So I love that one there. And the final one for me though, it's hanging on my wall and it was released in 2015, but gosh, it seems like I've had it even longer before that. It's just been around. It is the Black Series 3 3/4 line. And you and I did discuss it on Star Wars Rank, but it is a Darth Vader Dagobah test. And it has the little breakaway mask and it's Luke's face there. And it's, I just love it. And I can't even take it off I have a bulletin board with the figures I love to display now. And like it's the plastic, the bubble is, I had to like glue it back on, right? So I can't grab it because it falls apart. And I just love that one there too, because again, that as a kid, fascinated by that sequence. And that was at a time, 2014, 2015. I was even, you know, doing Jedi Alliance, and you and I were meeting and starting new podcasts together, and Force Center came late in 2015 into Force Awakens. But it's still, I look at it and it is from an era where I didn't seek it out. I just turned the corner at a store and it was there, and I was like, Star Wars, I like that. And that's why I have a special place marked for that one.
Oh, that is a very, very good one. Yeah, it's like a slightly translucent cape too, right?
Something like that. Yeah, it's a little far out of my view. Yeah, I can look up a Jedi business too. But yeah. And it's just great. And it's just, it's just a fun little scene that late in life, you're like, oh yeah, I remember celebrating that as a kid.
That exact moment. Yeah, I think so much of the journey of the Power of the Force line was, ooh, what characters are they going to remake? What characters have they never made before? And now, you know, even before the prequels, how can they make another Chewie? How can they make another Luke? So there's a ton of these for me. But the one that I just absolutely loved, and I remember specifically having this one out at a rehearsal for a sketch comedy show that I had at my house, so I could show all my friends and go, look at this. This is bonkers. It was, I think, 98. It is a Jabba's Palace, like, cardboard diorama, but it came with Han coming out of carbonite. So there had been action figures at that point where you could get Han in carbonite, and you got the block, but then you also got him with just, you know, the tan shirt, right?
Right, right.
But this was, okay, we're trying to get more specific, and it came with the block of carbonite, where his sort of outline is already melted out. And then his shirt is dirty. And in particular, he's got a sad face, like his eyebrows are stitching upward. And that was the first of these of like, okay, this is like from seconds of film. This is like the weird, like, you know, movements he's making with his mouth as he's unfreezing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a thing of beauty. If you find it online, you got to really zoom into his face to see like, oh, wow, that's a hell of a face. There's so many of these, so I don't want to spend 8 hours doing it. So I'll just list a couple more. One that I keep meaning to pick up. I see it at conventions. I don't think I ever saw it in the store. I probably would have bought it. It's from the original trilogy collection sometime in the 2000s, I believe. And I always think of it as keg stand Luke Skywalker, but it's Luke, you know, doing a handstand on Dagobah, but it's all sculpted. So like he's in the package upside down and his hair is, you know, floating, hanging down. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it looks great if you just have it in the package, but it's such a hyper specific moment. The idea that you would take this out you know, act out any moment of Luke Skywalker other than this exact second where he's upside down really cracks me up. I'll just do two more. I love the defeat of Grievous where the flames are shooting out of his eyes. It's like the literal moment of his death where his organ sac is bursting.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah, that one's great. Oh god,
absolute classic. This got me thinking. I have wet Obi-Wan Kenobi from Revenge of the Sith, where he has dived into the water to escape Order 66. And I was like, I didn't collect a ton during Attack of the Clones era. And it got me thinking, is there a wet Obi-Wan Kenobi from Kamino with his hair slicked back in the rain? There is, and it's affordable. So now I got to buy it. Damn it.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful when you research those toys.
Oh boy, it's so hard. It's so hard, but it brings me so much joy. This is a really fun question for me. Maybe we can do this as a ranked sometime.
I'm thinking of it because often that's the ones you and I chose, but we, you know, I think people might enjoy just putting them all into one bucket, one ranked. We might have to do that soon.
The action figure that is from only a few moments of film. So much fun. Such a beautiful, weird thing. Thank you, Michael, for that great question. We're going to move on to our final question from Lou Stout. Hello, Lou. Lou says, hey, fellas, Big Lou here. As I was making a sandwich the other night, I was contemplating a recent episode of Book of Boba Fett and started going down the mental rabbit hole of comparing his time spent working for Jabba versus his time working for the Empire. Then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Vader probably used Boba so much because Anakin spent so much time with the clones. Boom, I blew my own mind. So my question is, what are some of the new Star Wars that made you have connections like this to older Star Wars that just left you standing in your kitchen for 20 minutes with a half-made PB&J, reveling in your own genius? Thanks, and may the Force be with you. Thank you, Lou, for this really fun question and a fun revelation. What do you think about Lou's revelation?
I love it. And yeah, Big Lou is great. He listens to a lot of the silly things I do and the wonderful stuff here at Force Center. So thank you, Lou, for following me around. And got a great YouTube channel, too, if you want advice on how to like build things, because I don't have that. Lou's your man. I think it's great. And I love those moments. And I love and I'm even having trouble. Like I always go over my notes either Sunday night or Monday morning over coffee early. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know my answer. I can't think of the answer. This is I have one. But I'm like, I want that drop your peanut butter and jelly sandwich moment that Lou's having here. And theories sometimes do that for me. I remember the first time the big theory of, Boba Fett might have been the one that killed Owen and Beru. I was like, oh my God. Oh, you know, that kind of stuff. That was like five, 10 years ago when that was kind of getting big. So I love those moments, Lou. That's we talk about the importance in Star Wars affecting your life and focus determines reality, can change your day. And then those moments where you're just like, oh man, yeah. What if what if Darth Vader, Boba Fett, like hung out? And oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I really like this idea because we've seen so much in books and comics, in particular, that like Vader thinks of Anakin as weak and he killed him. Right, he got rid of him. That's what he says in Rebels. Right, but he certainly reflects on and uses all of the knowledge and experience he gained as Anakin. Right.
Yeah.
So if there is a little bit of like, yeah, no, I'm. I recognize that voice and I value it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I know I can get the job done. That's great.
Yeah. That's really cool. There are a lot of little and big moments like this for me. I think this is an opinion that many people have now, including, you know, Matt Martin from the Story Group has tweeted about it a couple of times. But I remember initially approaching the way the Jedi dress. Right. Mm-hmm. We saw Obi-Wan in the kind of the Jedi robes, and then Yoda kind of had similar, and then they kind of became Jedi robes. And then, you know, Phantom Menace comes out, and that's very much Jedi robes with variations. And then the critique became that, like, well, this doesn't make any sense because, you know, Owen Lars wears that. Is Owen Lars a Jedi? This doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And I remember for me being like, troubled by that for a while. And then one day thinking like, well, what if it's, that's the way the farmers dress, and Jedi are dressing in the plain robes of everyday people who do hard labor.
Yeah.
Because that's their philosophy of, we don't need anything fancy. We need something that is somewhat formal so that it can be evoke our traditions and our similarities and our differences. But we don't need Lando capes. We don't need signs of stature. We need something flowing and utilitarian.
Yeah,
you know, and like, ooh, yeah, and just enjoying that a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great.
Yeah, so that was a big one for me. This is, I think, a thing that people would be like, yeah, that's not a revelation. That's just the story. But at the time, it was a revelation for me because people weren't talking about the prequels, and particularly in my social group, people weren't talking about the prequels as though they had value. It was all criticism, right?
Yeah.
And there'll be a couple, I like this beat, I like this beat. But I think for me, the first time I really thought about Revenge of the Sith a lot. And the first time I kind of rewatched the original trilogy after Revenge of the Sith and really connected with, oh, Anakin fell because his fear of losing Padme was manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing, oh, wow. Vader does the exact same thing to his son. That's how Luke almost turns to the dark side when Vader says, oh, so you have a twin sister. If you will not turn, perhaps she will. And that was one of the beginnings for me of really unlocking, like, I'm going to stop trying to push back against the prequels and look at what's there, how it connects.
Mm, that's great. Is that where it all began?
one of the many stops along the way, because I think this was around the time is like nobody wants to talk to me about Star Wars, unless it's maybe to just kind of make some fun jokes. This was definitely much like Lou. I was not in the kitchen. I think I was brushing my teeth. But wait, final one for me, Ken.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this most recent episode of Book of Boba Fett, and there's this great debate out there that we're going to try to kind of dive into of. what kind of choices Luke is making for Grogu, and where's Luke at? Is he making good choices, or are we seeing the beginnings of some of his failures that he is upset about in Last Jedi? Great discussion for another time, as Maz Kanata would say. But what really grabbed me, because there's so much in that episode to think about, Luke's got that very nice line to Grogu when he first gets whapped by the training remote. And Luke says, get up, always get back up. And I think that's such a Jedi philosophy. I think that's a lot of what Kenobi is in his journey on Tatooine, is finding a way to get back up, right?
Yeah.
But that's what Luke is failing to do in the first half of The Last Jedi. He's failing to take his own advice. He's just not getting back up. He's just going, yeah, I failed. I'm going to find all the reasons why I'm right, that there shouldn't be, that the Jedi shouldn't be anymore. And it's not taking his own wisdom from the past.
I love that. That's some great stuff there. Yeah. I had, I was trying to think of the, like the drop your sandwich moments. And I want to talk about this one because it's already, it's like a, yeah, well, duh, but after Solo, and I know there's some thoughts and different opinions on L3 becoming one with the Falcon. I get that. We've touched on that, and we can happily touch on that again. But in the moment, I'm caught up in the movie, right? And then afterwards, and then it's before you go to Twitter and people have, oh my God, that means this, right? That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Before that moment, very organically, I think I just was like, oh, but that means, that means L3 was given 3PO the what for in Empire. Oh, I love right? that. You know, like, and there's other connect. And then some people have, pointed out, I remember in the days again after the movie, it was, well, you know, her is the Falcon in any way, shape, or form, sending them to Lando in the Bespin system and all that kind of stuff. But I just had that. That's a scene I've loved and laughed as a kid, right? Just the Falcon and 3PO having problems talking to the Falcon, and that very organic moment, not in the movie because I'm watching the movie, but then afterwards, yeah, just going, wait a minute, that means, and then I just love those moments. I do love them.
Yeah, and I think this is what's so great. You can absolutely pick up on those connections on social media. You know, I think a lot of sort of parallel thinking, parallel examinations, or sometimes somebody points something out that you'd never thought of. But I love the moment that you're describing, and I think what Lou is really describing, of just opening yourself to, like, thinking about the different beats, the different relationships, how they might connect, and discovering things. For me, that's just like a huge part of what the joy of Star Wars is, you know, opening your mind and seeing how a couple of different ideas might intersect.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Yeah.
So, and those are our questions. Oh, okay, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, and I guarantee you, the moment we start recording, I'm going to have five more that popped in my head, but that's just the way it goes sometimes.
And if you have a full five, then we have another episode ranked.
I've ranked. Yeah.
I think this is turning into our, and you've got a stew of, like, anytime we come across the list, that could be a ranked.
You're ranked.
Excellent. Excellent questions. Thank you all. That's it for the questions, Ken.
That is indeed. That's it for the episode. Oh, a lot of fun as always. Here we are on the way out. If you'd like to know where you can connect with us, ask us questions and more, you can find us on Twitter, Force Center Pod. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thanks so much for those who are listening on YouTube and leaving fun comments. YouTube can be a interesting place comment wise, but we love the Force Center people over there checking in, and comments and likes and all that kind of stuff really helps as we add the YouTube as kind of a regular part of the show. No cameras, no things yet, but who knows when we start working on other things. We're getting a lot of interaction over there. So find us on YouTube is the moral of the story. Facebook page is Force Center podcast available on a lot of different spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. We always say from there, you can plug into our Discord where a lot of Force Center friends can hang out with you. And, you know, with a lot of the feelings out there on Twitter, all the passion, as I was trying to say, if you want a different way to discuss Star Wars, including, hey, this didn't work for me, or what do you guys think about this? Our Discord is a really good spot to hang out, and you can get through that by supporting us directly on patreon.com/Force Center. Any level of support. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. I've been mentioning, I've been a lot of fun, a lot of Saturday nights. I've been doing it live now. My music show, Pop Rock and Radio on Mixcloud, some Force Four Center friends are popping in there too, like Lauren Romo and others. Just a fun time to hang out. I play music like an old time Wolfman Jack DJ, and you dance along in your living room if you'd like. So follow me there. Where we'd like to, my charity focus, I'm sticking with the St. Baldrick's Foundation .org for a while. Go to stbaldricks.org because I'm supporting my friend Jeff, who has his works with them, and every year they do actually year round, but every year he does a head shaving event to raise funds and awareness for St. Baldrick's Foundation so they can help conquer kids' cancer. They do a lot of great work, a lot of money raised going into research, support, and so many wonderful things. So go to stbaldricks.org for that if you'd like to get more in support. Joseph, what do you got?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can find all of my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. I want to continue to highlight this initiative called Illuminative. Here is what the group says. Created and led by Native peoples, Illuminative is a new nonprofit initiative designed to increase the visibility of and challenge the negative narrative about Native nations and peoples in American society. They have a lot of great projects going on. If you want to learn more, possibly donate or get involved, you can go to their website at illuminatives.org.
Do it, do it, do it. Great stuff indeed. Very fun episode. Thanks for all your questions. Thanks for listening. And for Kenobi, we're going to join you in that hut very soon. We'll see you next time here on Foresight.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.